Hello, I'm Brandon McCose, and this song is called Just Say When.
She sits by a window, cool through the night, watches the rain passing on by. So hard to relax when you're missing what you love, but you fall asleep at last, dreams off in a bus. And please, baby, come with me. I've got starts laughing, doesn't quite know why. Replays the memory stuck into her mind. She feels the world is right, but something else is missing. Babe, you know that I am listening. And please, baby, come with me. I've got what you need. And don't you
Two studio. It is the End of the Shell show, and I'm joined by Brandon McCose, which you can find on his website, brandonmccose.com. And you just performed Just Say When, and I actually went and I saw the video of that. And here's the thing about that. I think there's a little dog in that video. Totally stole like the video in my part. Do you find that?
I just thought it was he wanted in, man. It's he just was there. I couldn't get him out of the room. It's just the way it works, man. Sometimes when you create a video, the unplanned things like that can sometimes get a lot of attention and actually bring more people to the video. So I've had a lot of people forward that off. Some have made comments about the dog, but you know, I'm kind of neutral on it. I don't think it's hurt anything.
And the crazy thing is, and I guess I'm just finding out now, it was a spontaneous thing. That dog was not supposed to be in that video, right?
No, I mean, I never intended to have the dog in it, but he, for some odd reason, liked the camera guy, and, you know, he decided to lay by my foot throughout the whole entire thing, and then he'd look out the window a couple times, and I just was like, you know what, just leave him. I mean, we're not going to win this battle because he's not going to stay in my room. He's just going to squeal the whole time or something, yeah. You know? So that's just how that works.
Another thing about the video that was really cool, that it showed off your fingering skills, you know, when you were playing the song, you know, you're singing.
The solo at the end.
Yeah.
We had a you know, a camera essentially right on the neck, you know, so we could get, you know, the up close finger picking and stuff, which I thought would be a cool thing. One thing I think that is unique about my style is the finger picking lead guitar style. And, you know, if I was going to create a video, I want people to understand that's a big part of my playing. So we made sure that, you know, we highlighted that in the video. And I thought, you know, Rob Scallon, the guy who directed it, did, you know, a really good job putting together different camera angles and, you know, ideally making the video fun and dynamic.
This was your first attempt, as far as my knowledge, of you actually making a video for yourself, right?
Yeah, yeah. Other than live performance stuff, this was the first one that we've put, you know, actual production quality into.
Was there a point where you were thinking, you know, since this is my first video, I wanted to kind of do a kind of a something bigger than what you guys had conceived?
Well, you know, my idea on this one, you know, was originally to try to do it with the band. Problem with that scenario was the band I would have wanted in the video was in Texas, not Chicago. And so the best way around that was to cut a solo version of the song and then cut a video solo, you know, with just me in it. And then I guess Marley, you know, the dog, of course.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how that came about. But, you know, it's a great starting point. The video that I'll be shooting this weekend in Austin, you know, will feature the other guys, and it'll be a little, you know, I don't know, more strong, I guess, and there's no other really word to use.
But there's going to be more of a presence of...
Yeah, you know, it's going to... Because I don't want people to think I'm a solo acoustic guitar player. That's not necessarily what I do. It's a part of what I do. So,
I mean, you started off your first two albums that you did, it was pretty much acoustic stuff, and then you moved towards, you know, electrifying that, right?
Yeah, I'd have an acoustic bass track and I'd layer it with electric guitars, as opposed to this EP. I did the opposite, essentially, where I was pretty much going electric everywhere. And then the song Just Say When on that EP, that was originally electric, and it just did not feel right. That song was just meant to be acoustic, and that's why I changed it at the last minute. I was like, you know, this is the way this one's supposed to feel.
Tell me about transitioning between coming from being an acoustic act to then, you know, fortifying that with electricity, as well as with your vocal, because those are kind of two different, you know, elements that you're trying to breed into one, right?
Yeah. So, you know, the solo acoustic guitar playing, singing thing, as you said, it's a different platform than playing with a band. It can be bad and it can be good. It can make you more dynamic and diverse because you're able to go do things solo acoustic. At the same time, when you're not playing with the drummer and the energy of a band, it can also make your music come off very light, Jack Johnson-esque, you know, not real rock, right? So it was very important for me to have band shows, even if I was doing predominantly acoustic shows. I'd definitely find a way to integrate the band growing up so that I could have that side of me. And it helps your writing, too, because when you feel the adrenaline of a rock song, it makes you want to write more rock songs. So it does influence your writing, too.
Let's talk about that. Do you consider yourself more of a guitar player first and then a writer second?
Yeah, absolutely. I spent my whole life, you know, working on guitar and different genres. You know, I'm very well-versed in about every area of country, you know. And then I've got a jazz blues thing and acoustic rock, and just, you know, Joe Walsh was my idol, so like rock too, you know. And I was never a great singer until I started working on it. I had a voice coach in Austin that completely changed everything for me, taught me how to use my voice, get the power out of it, and you know, treat it like an instrument, like the way I play guitar, the different bends and slides I would do on guitar, ways that you can learn those tricks on your voice. And that changed my whole career, because from there you start hearing new notes because you can actually hit them. And the whole idea behind that was to get my singing to a level that was closer to the guitar. And the songwriting, that's just an everlasting, you know, ever-evolving process.
Did you want to be a singer?
Yeah, I've always wanted to. Because when I started writing music, I started writing music before I started being a good singer, per se. But I didn't want anybody else singing it. So it's like, no, I'm going to sing this. I'm just going to get good at singing. So I worked my butt off to make sure that I had a presentable voice where people could actually walk away, be like, man, that guy's a great singer, and not even realize maybe that I was a great guitar player or something. It's always the greatest compliment if somebody says to me, you've got an awesome voice, and they don't say anything about the guitar. That's when I get the most excited, not the most offended.
That's cool.
You know, because I'm like, wow, I finally beat that beast, you know?
Yeah. Tell me about the ever-evolving bands that you're with, because you go in and you record, but you record out in Austin, right?
Yeah, predominantly down there. That's I'm very comfortable recording there. There's some great studios, and the prices are better than Chicago. Chicago studios are expensive, and there's not a real great reason for that, just like everything else in that town. Why it's expensive, I don't know. But you know, I have so many choices there. If I need to call in somebody to lay down a keys part or a background singer, like, I know them all down there, because that's where I launched my music career, was Austin. And I always get in a very creative vibe down there. It just is a very good spot for me to record.
Cool. Cool. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's hear another song. We are going to hear the song Token, and we're going to have more with my guest, Brandon McCoes, right here on the Enter the Shell show.
As a token of my emotion.
Jackos.com is where you can find him at. And just out of curiosity, did anybody make fun of your last name or anything like that growing up?
No, I was a guy, man. So I just got Hoser and McCose, man, or Hose for McCose, or, you know. Yeah, I just kind of stuck with it, man. And my middle name's Allen, and if I would have went Brandon Allen, that's just too pigeonholed to country. I just don't think I could have escaped that. And being that I was writing most of my music and without anybody else, like 99% of it, there was no reason to not just keep my name at that point.
Yeah. Although I did like, was it Hose for McHose? Or
yeah.
That's a good one.
That's good. That turned into a AIM screen name at one point. That's real status there.
Maybe that's what you should name your fans.
Yes, the Hose for McHose.
Hose for McHose, yeah.
Oh, man. It's classic.
But earlier we were talking about you living in Chicago. Do you still live out there?
I still do, yeah. I'll be there about 2 more weeks, and then I'll be kind of heading out this way. But I'm going to be on the road a lot in July, so I'll probably officially be relocating out west by August at this point. But I've been spending so much time out here that I'm kind of based here now, in a way.
Okay. Are you thinking about living in L.A. or somewhere in Southern California?
Well, I was thinking of living on the border of Tijuana. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. yeah, I'll probably live somewhere in LA, but that's going to take some hunting. So we were talking earlier about Temecula, where my uncle lives. There's nothing wrong with, like, you know, hanging out at the wineries during the day.
At all.
You know, and if I need to commute to LA for a while, you know, I think I could live with that.
And here's the thing. Wineries would totally dig like your music. Like, you could, you know, pick up a gig, I'm sure, all the time if you
live. There's something to that, and the cool part about playing a winery, it's an intellectual audience. If, like, if you're intellectual enough to drink wine, you're not going to a winery to watch a sports game, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So there's something to that. They, you know, growing up playing some of those, I've never had a bad experience at a winery. It's just always been a good crowd. So it's interesting you said that, because I was telling somebody that earlier today, that, man, there's worse things to be playing.
Yeah.
You know, that is for sure.
It's kind of like a secret, like, that, like, only a few people know about, you know, playing these wineries.
Yeah.
I want to play a winery, or at least record in one. You know, that's one of my dreams. Maybe I'll accomplish that.
There's some cool stages they've got set up on some of those.
Let's talk about your last gig that you did at Chicago. I know it was at the Double Door.
You got it.
Was that more of a sad, you know, gig, or was it more of a triumphant gig?
Triumphant, for sure. Yeah. I mean, Chicago was very good to me. I had a lot of success in a very, very short time there. And it was just a celebration more than anything. It's not like I'm never going to play there again, but my goals when I moved there were to accomplish, like, you know, 3 or 4 different things. And one of them was to have, you know, my last show there before I'd start coming back only every 5 months. You know, at one point you have to be somewhat inaccessible to move into the next level.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, kind of. I mean, if you're playing a residential gig somewhere every week and people know that, it loses its swagger a little bit.
And was that happening in Chicago?
Not necessarily. I'd still promote the main show. But what I'm saying is the best way to often get big somewhere is to leave it and then come back and start multiplying your audience, because they know they can't just see you again.
That's good advice.
Yeah. I don't give it for free very often, my friend. But it's worked for me in any city I've ever lived in. I've established bigger markets by only coming back to them.
And when you leave Chicago officially, are you going to miss any particular food? Like, I've always wanted to have the Chicago pizza.
Well, it's amazing. Yeah, the deep dish pizza in Chicago is something else. But just the food in general there. I mean, everybody forgets. I mean, the Italian food in Chicago is unbeatable. I mean, unbeatable. I mean, that is there are some serious places there. And then the Chicago hot dog is pretty intense.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't want to eat, like, for the next 2 days, have a Chicago hot dog, you know, because that'll be the same amount of calories. So.
One of the things that I found really interesting about you was I was reading on your bio, and it said earlier you went to a school to see if, you know, I think it was like the school in Berkeley in, yeah. in Boston, right?
Yeah, you got it.
And while you were there, you were auditioning to be a part of the
school.
The school.
Yeah.
And the professor said, hey, I don't think, not necessarily you're a right fit, but he's like, this school can't help you. The biggest thing you could do is just go out there and get on the road.
Yeah, I had a very honest assessment from the assistant chair of the department there, and we sat and hung out in a room and played a little guitar, and essentially he'd given me the advice. He's like, look, man, you know, you're welcome to come here, but I really think with what you're doing, what you're writing, and where you're at, you're going to progress much faster at what you're doing right now by just going and doing it. Pick a city like Austin or somewhere, you know, that's where I told him I was also looking at. And he pretty much said, do it. And if it doesn't work out, you can always come back here. And it was just really cool to have somebody say, I don't want 40 grand a year, you know?
Yeah. did you, at any point, did you tell your parents, hey, you could just throw that 40 grand my way instead of an education?
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly what I told him. I said, this is going to cost you guys a lot of money.
but that's a little bit a gift and a curse, because at the same time, it's like, okay, you're at this point where you really don't need, you know, not necessarily education, but you don't really need to be, you know, more schooled at what you're doing. And then moving on, it's like, okay, well, man, I thought I needed more help, but I guess not.
You know, I know guys in classical and jazz, and I think when I recorded with them 19 through 22, when I was putting out a couple CDs, you know, I learned more in that recording process about things I didn't know, not just recording, movements of chords, substitute chords, that I never really pursued music school. And, you know, when have you ever heard a scale, like an actual scale in a song? You know what I mean? There's something to that too. I mean, they're giving you information in those classes to go out and apply to something. And if I'd been applying it for a while, you know, and if you ask Jimmy Page, was he thinking of this mode when he was playing this song? The answer is obviously no. You know, sometimes, like, if you just have a knack for writing something and you understand that it sounds good to you, that's all it takes. See, I mean, look at Olympic sprinters. Like, they say, you know, 6'4", 6'5", guys can't win the 100-meter dash, and Usain Bolt sets a world record, you know? Destroys everybody. Yeah. I mean, there's something to that. That applies across the board in anything you do. Sometimes, if you think you've got a vision, just follow it.
Is it what's your mantra? Do you have a mantra?
Not really.
It's just, hey, I'm here.
Yeah. Let's be like, Brandon McCose, and I've got a funny last name, but I'm even funnier when you talk to me. And I'm even funnier looking when you look at me.
You know what's weird is you bear a striking resemblance to one of my Marine buddies, Mark. You met Mark, right? Yeah. I'm talking with this photographer. But, dude, exactly like the spitting image of him. It's so that's why at times I feel like I'm zoning out, because it's like, oh, my God, I'm talking to somebody that I know. Do you get that a lot? Do you have, like, a face that's very...
I don't know, man. I'm not sure I've had people say that to me that many times, and I'm not sure if they're sober when they're saying it.
Alcohol helps a lot with
it. Yeah, it does. It sure does. I make sure I buy those people an extra drink after they say something like that.
Deal.
Well, let me see if I can fix this. Here, yeah. Right.
I like that. You're like, maybe this will help. Okay, coming up next, we're going to put you in the celebrity corner, but we are going to hear another song, and this one is actually one of my favorite songs. This was off of the Late Night EP that you did, and for those that have been, you know, just a huge fan of mine, I do another show, and that's called The Playlist, and that's where I first featured you, Brandon, and from there, you know, a few months later, now, boom, you're here. So it's like you made it, man.
Yes, I know. I'm excited to be here. So thanks again for having me.
Yeah, yeah. But like I said, and I said it before in that show and now in this one, is that this is my favorite song. So when you said that you're going to do it, I was really happy and excited. So.
I'm glad I guessed right.
And yeah.
Picked the right one out of my 20, right?
All right. Okay, we're going to have more with my guest right here on the End of the Shell show.
Falls along, where do I steer? My footprints, nothing is clear. Restless at heart, delivered from fear. Thoughts like balls pulsing through thin air. Give me a clue, a finder's find. I'm standing on that tightrope line. It's a circus, this world to me. Illusions to reality. Waiting for so long. Two steps to the end and I'm done. Living the chapters on me. And I'm waiting for the next thing. Where lies the truth? If truth lies, never hold your breath, it will disguise. Cause over time, when you will see the color of the canvas underneath. Waiting for so long, two steps till the end and I'm done. Living the chapters of me, and I'm waiting for the next thing.
It's now time to get into the celebrity corner. And real quick question. Are you still into bro tips? I remember earlier we were talking about that.
I saw a few that made me laugh, so they had to go up.
Yeah.
I haven't been into them as much lately. Those, you know how the internet is? Something stumbles across, and then you get into it for like a week or two or three.
Or 3 days.
Or 3 days, yeah. Like, I don't think I posted many of those, but... You know, some of them kind of made me laugh, especially the really stupid ones. You know, in the, I would say I've moved out of that phase in my life, but it could come back. That's why they I could have relapse.
Yeah. You know who else is making a comeback? Michael Jackson, but not in a good way. It appears that he is being hit with a $1 billion lawsuit from a girl claiming that she was the inspiration for a few songs on a couple of his records, namely Thriller and what was the other one? It was Thriller and it was... I'll tell you right now, I write it down, and now I can't find it as it goes. And Dangerous and Bad, so which of course were, you know, huge albums for Michael Jackson.
Yeah. Well, what I would say about that is it's interesting. She's coming after him once he's dead,
right?
You know, it's always so much easier when the other person can't rebut anything because, you know, they're not alive. So who knows? I mean, that guy had so many different problems that I wouldn't even know how to assess him at this point.
Well, here's the thing. It brings up a very interesting, I don't know, argument or fact. She's obviously suing because she's the inspiration. And a lot of people end up in songs because they're inspiration from that artist or that singer-songwriter. My whole thing is I'm curious to see if more people that say, oh, I was the muse for this or for that, are going to come forward now and try to get some money out of that.
So is John Mayer going to sue Taylor Swift for the Dear John song?
Well, maybe he should.
You know what I mean? Should Crazy Woman, who I wrote a song about, you know, in Austin, Texas, she going to come back after me? You know, yes, suing because of inspiration is pretty interesting.
Right.
That's such a soft argument. I mean, okay. I mean, how do you really know that? And didn't they come up with a song one time? This is kind of a side point. What was that 865309?
Yeah, you know? Jenny. 8.
Didn't they like have to make a law like you can't use 7 digits now?
In really?
I think they did. Like after that, because so many people were calling that number. Right. And what goes in songs? I don't know. I mean, look at Bob Dylan's songs. Oh my gosh, look, the Hurricane. You could trace all sorts of things, inspiration, suing for it. I don't know the answer. I don't study law.
Right.
Thankfully, that means right. I keep my morals instead of worry about what a book told me.
I just hope people more take on the err on the side of, hey, you know, I'm just happy that I helped create something.
What do you think?
I think the people should just be like, hey, I helped create this, and you know, I was an inspiration for a great song. I think that's flattery enough.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And like I said, going after someone that's dead, it's like, you know, drugs coming after Jim Morrison for saying I inspired his song. You know, it's like, really? All right.
Do you watch TV?
I do.
Did you ever watch Robin Big?
No.
Do you know who Rob Dyrdek is?
No. Do I look like him too?
No. You look like my friend Mark, though. No. Which I can't wait. I'm going to take a photo of you and I'm going to send it to him and be like, hey, dude, I found your doppelganger.
I'll stand still.
Yeah. But here's the thing. He is actually courting this guy on Twitter who just has @Rob because Rob Dyrdek just wants that instead of using his full name. It's very interesting to see people now starting to look at names and URLs that are not taken, as far as like twitter.com/whatever or facebook.com/whatever.
Right.
I actually have been courted a few times for people that have been wanting to buy Enter the Shell. And of course, these are all, you know, offshore China companies and stuff like that. But would you be willing to sell your Twitter username or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, I could live with coming up with a new one. I think I could probably figure out a different combination where people would still figure out it's me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a sellout, obviously.
Rob is actually he courted this guy for like $25,000, but the guy said no, only because he's like, I have this account linked to so many other accounts that it would just be a pain to just try to relink it to something else.
Yeah,
I guess.
I mean, it seems like if you send hyperlinks to people nowadays, they could probably figure out your new name,
right? But,
I mean, I'm not a computer expert either.
But for $25,000, you would be.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You want B. McCo's at B. McCo's? I mean, okay, so I'll do B. A. McCo's next time. You know, it's like.
Yeah. So lastly, do you have a cell phone?
I do.
Okay. Now, they are thinking about installing FM chips in cell phones to get FM radio. And I think this is a great idea. My only thing, my only qualm, is that they're not putting an AM on there. And this is why. I know a lot of people don't like AM, but I'm a fan of AM only because I can get, you know, my baseball and just my football, any of my sports.
Right.
And when I go to, you know, I frequent Dodger Stadium a lot. I go there a lot. And when I go there, my phone, it doesn't stream, you know, the game, because I want to hear Vin Scully, you know. So yeah. I do think that AM should be included into that. What's your thoughts?
I think so. I mean, I don't see why not. Plus, AM waves are huge. You could pick up any baseball game. I mean, practically. Those reach so much further than FM.
Yeah.
And there are so many towers out there nowadays.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it would be better if you gave people the option to have either one.
And this is what's interesting. I can't believe they have not figured out how to use, whether it be FM or AM frequencies, to distribute data. You know, I think if you can master that, then you might have yourself a nice little data empire.
Yeah. No, that's a really good point.
Right? Here I am giving all this great advice, too. I'm like, hey, guys.
You said you weren't a sound junkie. Look at this.
Right? It's now time for shout-outs. And do you have any shout-outs that you would like to give out?
I'd like to shout-out to my mother and father today. My uncle in Temecula for taking me to some nice wineries today. That was very nice. And thank you at Enter the Shell, of course, for having me on today.
And to Nicole, right?
And Nicole from Miles High. Yes, and Chip as well. You guys rock. And you put up with me, and I'm not sure why.
We said earlier that you have a phone. Is it a smartphone?
It is very smart. It is the iPhone 4S.
Does it have Stitcher on it?
Then
no. It's not smart enough.
Well, I've got Siri, which means I can talk to a girl anytime I want.
Yeah, but from what I hear, Siri's of kind of a pain.
Well, what woman isn't?
Nice. Very much so. So Stitcher, what that is we're streaming on smartphones. So anywhere you're at in the world, you can just listen to the entire Enter the Shell podcast network from there. So log on to Stitcher.com or just click on the banner on Enter the Shell, and then you could be streaming the entire podcast network if that's your thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Or you can always just do it the old-fashioned way. I love how going to a website and actually downloading from the website and then putting it into your phone or MP3 device is the old-fashioned way.
Yeah, yeah, sure is.
Tell me, what do you think about the studio?
I love it. This is a good vibe in here. Like I said, it's the studio in every way that word entails, from art to the random, you know, water bottles to paintings to keyboards to that room back there. All the way to the outside, yeah. You know, where you got, you know, the backyard,
yeah,
feel to it with the breeze. I mean, this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's inspired me to start painting again.
Good, good. Maybe one day we can show off your work here.
Yes, yes.
I would love that. Well, if you ever want to rent this place out or throw a wild party or maybe even just, you know, you want to just come and just paint, you know, log on to noho2.com, speak with Mark Doty, and he'll set it all up. Cool?
Absolutely.
Okay, it is now time to find out the moral of today's show. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say a few magical words, start up the Demoralizer 3000, and we'll find out the moral of today's show. Finger picking, Austin, Chicago, recording, wine, Temecula, next three, $25,000, Taylor Swift, and pizza. That means it's done if you can rip open up that envelope and read us the moral of today's show.
Don't you realize there's more to life than sex and pizza rolls?
There it is. My guest has been Brendan McCose. You can check him out on his website, brendanmccose.com. And we are going to leave you now with a bit of a treat. This is a song that you're kind of premiering, I want to say. This is a goodbye. And thank you again for coming on the show.
Thank you. This song is going to be recorded very soon.
So many miles away, I wanna see your face. Without them touching you, this place won't feel the same. This balcony feels empty, soaking up its vacancy. Where is the remedy, the pulse that brings life to me? Goodbye to you. Something that I never choose, what I dread to do. Stuck for many days. Remember when time would pass us up just like the trains. When I reached out to you and held you in close to me. Our heartbeat slow, we tempted eternity.
Gonna wrap it up for another edition of the End of the Shell Show, and we are out of here. Later.